You have handouts at your places, and I want to thank Barry for having lunch. He provided a context of information about your association and how you all come together, and so that was very helpful. I will keep that in mind as we go through this afternoon session, and I really enjoyed this morning session and getting to know more about you and you individually. So we are, if you are very happy where you're sitting, I'm going to move you. If you're not happy where you're sitting, I'm going to move you, okay? But we'll do that when we get to the breakouts. And this is going to be an interactive session. There will be some presentation from slide, but you're going to do some of the work. And so I know that sometimes we like to share our information and our resources and our knowledge, and sometimes we like to not share. But today we're going to share. So I hope that everyone needs to or can come to a place. I put the handouts at these front tables, so guys, if you've got to find one, then please do so. But I would hope that we all trust each other, because I certainly shared some of my skin knees this morning about mistakes I've made or things that I've seen in the industry, and hopefully that you can be in a secure place, because sometimes when we talk about what's working and what's not, if we can spare the burden for someone else, then more power to us, okay? So this afternoon session builds on some of the concepts from this morning, but really it's a departure. We're going to talk about fundraising events and tune-ups and what's working, what's not working, good ideas. And so when I say you're going to do a lot of the work, you are. So we will count off into 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're going to count off in fives. You won't stay where you are. Are you okay with that? Okay. You're willing to move? Okay. Work with new people? Okay. That's all good. That's all good. But we'll warm into that. Okay? So when we think about this afternoon session, I'm going to go straight to the objectives, because we have one quick hour, and this always goes fast. And for those of you that are new to the group, I should probably introduce myself, because you weren't at our morning session. I'm sorry. I see some new faces. My name is Pat Norley Jordan. I'm a consultant in the nonprofit sector. I work on strategic planning, board development, succession planning, diversity, campaign analysis, the whole gamut. I have 35 years of experience as a CEO and executive director of two organizations. They were both turnarounds, and grew them to over $5 million. So having said that, no further ado, we'll get on to what we're doing here, okay? And so our objectives. I always love these after-lunch sessions. So dangerous, which is why I'm having you work. So no snoozing, no. So our objectives. We're going to provide best practices. Remember this morning I talked about best practices around keeping events fresh while managing expenses effectively. My experience in nonprofit is the whole gamut of all different kinds of fundraising other than capital campaigns. We did not do capital campaigns. And so so we did some small events, and we did some multi-million dollar events. So and everything in between. So I cut my teeth on that stuff, and have lots of skin knees. So having said that, but keeping things fresh, the concept of events is part of the fundraising mix, and it is an enhancement to the donor life cycle. We talked about the donor life cycle this morning. Please just don't do events for the heck of it. Don't do events because you think you should do events. It needs to be part of your, what's that S word I used a lot? Strategy. It's part of your strategy of bringing that donor into your world and part of the life cycle of the donor. All right? Sometimes events get a bad rap. You hear about how expensive they are, how time intensive they are. They can be, or they can be efficient. So the audience is going to provide tried and true ideas that have impacted positive results. So I'm not going to ask you what the next slide says of what is your one question, or do I need to? Do you have a burning question that you want, or can we keep moving on? The reason I'm saying I don't want to do this is because I want to keep moving on. All right. We know who's in the audience. Some new folks joined in the back of the bus. And can you tell us a little bit about what your budget sizes are and what your role is? So if you weren't at the morning session, please introduce yourself.
Janet Klein, Agape Villages in California. I'm the president. Our budget's about $3 million.
Okay.
Total budget, not fundraising budget.
And what's your fundraising budget? $150 of a $3 million budget. Okay. Is there a gentleman in the back that's a new face?
I'm with him. What's his voice on?
But you weren't here this morning. Okay. All right. And what's your budget size? Fundraising budget. Philanthropic dollars.
I couldn't answer that because I don't understand what budget.
Okay. And what is your role?
I'm the campus manager.
Okay. Very good. And there's a gentleman in the back. Yes.
I'm John O'Keefe with the Central Texas Children's Home.
Okay. Budget size?
I don't know. I'm not the executive director.
Okay. And you only came for half, Mr.
Yes, Sean Hall from Cherokee.
Okay, that's right.
Executive director. Our total budget's about $1.7 million.
Okay.
Fundraising is about $200,000.
Okay. And gentlemen, yes.
I'm Jim Wright.
Okay. All right. Okie doke. So now you met folks that weren't here this morning, and a couple of pieces of information to share. All righty. So we want to engage donors and bring in prospects. That's why we do events. We want you snuck in. Okay, what's your name?
I'm Ben Zickman, CEO of Carpenter's Place in
Chicago. Okay, very good. So why do we do events? It's another revenue source. They should be revenue producing, and they should be cost effective. So I'm telling you some shoulds, okay? I think that they can play a role in endearing relationships. And people sometimes are attracted to the events before they're ever even attracted to your cause. We did bike tours, 150-mile bike tours. People didn't even know how to spell multiple sclerosis. They were attracted to cycling. They were with us for a week, and we took care of their every need and raised $2.5 million with them. We converted them to learn about multiple sclerosis. Yes. So, I'm just saying, events play a role. I'm not saying go out and do bike tours. There's a lot of competition in the market today. Mm-hmm. So events play a role in connecting givers to causes. I recruited board members that had never heard of multiple sclerosis before until they became involved with us. I became major donors, became planned givers, because they like cycling. Not because they understood multiple sclerosis. They didn't know anybody with multiple sclerosis. They like cycling. So I'm simply saying sometimes we're able to attract people because your neighbor invited you to this event and it sounded fun. Okay? And then you find out, oh my goodness, the impact they're making in the community. So events fuel the relationship in the beginning and middle stages of the donor life cycle. Go back to that picture, the donut. You come in, beginning stages, middle stages, not your plan givers. That's not where you want to introduce events. Okay? So it's in your younger, and I don't mean chronological, but the donors that have a shorter lifespan are tenure with you. So when you're thinking about segmenting your market, you're thinking about those things. All right? Now, this is important because I feel like I'm convincing you that special events have a role, and I'm not the zealot here. But 80% of people believe it's essential for people to come together to promote positive change. So the coming together, and if we just use the bike tour as an analogy, 2,500 cyclists, $2.5 million, that many porta potties, it was a mess. Okay. So they're coming together to do something that is impactful. They could have gone out as a group of friends with one person driving a van to provide them support, but that doesn't have the same power of the collective we. So there is power in the coming together in the events. 71% agree that attending events make them feel more connected to others. So this morning when we talked about segmented markets, what's the group of people that are looking for that connectivity? Millennials. Okay? Baby boomers will come along. But it's the millennials that are seeking affinity groups. And who did you all say that you wanted more of? Younger donors. And you were talking chronologically, younger donors. And what I think is astounding is look at the second half of that sentence. It's a sentiment that increased from 2014 at 66%. So it's growing. This is 2018 data. Okay? So be aware of the world outside of you and what you perceive to be truth. People are looking for affinity. All right? 70% agree that attending an event has been a more successful way at expanding their perspective than just reading about your mission online or a topic. It's your job to bring it to life. No preaching. Bring it to life. All right? These are called mission moments. How do we make them effective? How do we capture the audience? 84% believe that all types of events can inspire positive change for the country. That is a profound piece of data. That events can inspire positive change for the country. That's beyond you and me. That's beyond your cause. That's saying people want to affinity to create positive change. Now these are about needs, so think about needs, and I think we really have to be careful that we might not be our target market. Okay? So it's really putting the brain cap on outside of your own. 73% of millennials consider attending an event as a form of expression. If I go to this event, it is my form of expression that I want to align myself with this philosophy, with this belief, with this value, with this activity. Okay? All right. Compared to 48% of all other cohorts. That's all the rest of us that are in all those other groups. And if we remember, millennials are those 22 to 37 year olds. your future leaders, your future board members, your future donors. Okay? Now, is some of this feeling odd to you? It felt odd to me when I was doing the research for y'all. It felt like, wow, am I in touch with this? Do I think about this? Do I get outside of myself to look at the reality outside of me? Or what I knew to be true, which isn't true anymore. The data in the fundraising world is changing a lot.
So what I hear you saying with that is, when you have a special event fundraiser, fundraising is just a part of it.
Correct.
And sometimes the other part could be more important.
Correct. It's not a more than, it's just recognize it and make sure it happens. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Now, this next picture, I'm going to ask you, our slide. I have these two great nieces that are joys in my life. And when they come and hang out with Aunt Pat, we have adventures. Sometimes the adventure is an art project. Sometimes it's going to the zoo. Sometimes it's a whole host of things. But this, because when they were here for Thanksgiving, and I said, you guys want to paint rocks the day after Thanksgiving? Because they come to Aunt Pat's house, and we have the turkey gobble. Not that we just didn't have turkey Thanksgiving dinner, but we have the turkey gobble, which is turkey and jars of mayonnaise or Miracle Whip, because we're a bi-coastal family, and white bread on the table. And iceberg lettuce. We don't eat white bread normally. We don't eat iceberg lettuce. But for the turkey gobble, that's what we do. Okay? The kids love it. We have a great time. And we do fun things after dinner. So I said, you want to paint rocks? There's these really cool rocks. And I acquired some at the beach and I got paints and we can paint rocks. And they go, oh, that sounds like a great project. So when I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my kids. Bringing your cause to life. That was a rock. It's now a painted marquite. Don't ask me what a marquite is. But do you see, I mean, is that rock life? Is it bringing it to life? Is the painted stone something that's much more dimensional? Something that has personality, character? You're drawn to it. Not that you're going to have events where you all paint rocks. I'm not a Looney Tune, okay? But my point is, you bring it to life. You bring your mission to life. You can see, taste, touch the visual on the right much more so than you can on the left. Correct? Mm-hmm. All right. Bring it to life. So events bring your cause to life. That's why we do them. And we want money. Okay? We want philanthropic engagement. Do we do friendraisers? How many of you talk about, oh, it was a friendraiser? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or do we do fundraisers? This is a Pattism, the next sentence. Most organizations can't afford fundraisers. You're too small. You raise $75,000 in philanthropic dollars. Can you really afford a fundraiser? You need to make money. Now I know this sounds all radical. I'm not talking about donor appreciation receptions. That's different. I'm talking about events that you say, oh, but everybody had a good time. We spent 92% cost, but they all had a good time. We can't afford that. We just can't afford that. How much time did you put into that 8% margin? Now, donor appreciation receptions for major gifts, that's a different thing. And that is fundraising. I would also say it's cultivation. All right. So the use of storytelling and video is key. You cannot always script the messages that you want communicated, so you have to script them in video. Is that still authentic? Yes. If movies weren't scripted, we wouldn't go. If everything was spontaneous, we wouldn't go. It's scripted. It's edited. It's intentional. So donors need to see stories and faces of your cause to demonstrate how they can impact change. Remember this morning we talked about people want to not feel powerless in that sea of need. So, how many ways can you incorporate storytelling into your events? Anybody been to a golf tournament? Okay, even if you don't play golf, I know you all cheered that Tiger still won on Sunday. We all love a comeback, okay? You probably heard my husband cheering down the street. He was cheering very loudly. So, we're at a golf tournament. What do we do at a golf tournament? Well, there's usually hot dogs or something before you play golf. There's usually lunch. And there's usually mulligans. Mulligans are, do you know what a mulligan is? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't need to define that. And there's a goodie bag. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's these rounds of golf. And there's 18 holes. And there's signage along the route. We're at a golf tournament. Okay. You see those hole signs. Okay. And there's a banquet afterwards. Dinner. Everybody's telling stories. It's fun. And there's prizes. Okay. So when you think about that event, how many times and how many ways are we thinking about, yeah, they're out there playing golf. And they came because they like golf. And we haven't seen each other, so the four of us are going to be a foursome, and we're going to play golf. And we're going to talk, and we're going to have a great time. And we don't even know the organization, except you might know it. But you invited all of us to join you. Do you see where I'm going? Okay? Were we intentional in communicating our message? Did we have wish list display tables in the reception hosted by your program participants? Where they get to tell their story. Because I come up to the table, I'm picking up my goodie bag, and there's this display, and there's this child talking about graduating from college. And then they tell me that they were homeless or they had been saved from some sex trafficking situation, and now they're graduating from college, and they're in robotics, and they're a rocket scientist. Am I inspired? I was just picking up my goodie bag. So, program participants, if you're running a school or you have whatever component parts your mission delivery is, do we have the participants singing at the program? Do they do line dance? Do they do something? What did we learn about them? Can we print messages on cocktail napkins? A mission, an element, it's a cocktail napkin. It's an iced tea. It's a coaster under your iced tea. Are they in the table decorations? Or did we just do something? Do you see? I'm saying be intentional. You've got to convert them. You're about converting them so they come to better appreciate your mission. Yeah, we want them to have a great time playing golf, but we need to convey our mission. Signage at the event. Yes, we did put mission moments in the inside of porta potty doors. It was a big hit. What are you doing? You're not doing anything that you don't want to have to do and you want to get out of there, but you're being entertained and you're learning about the cause. Can we send a program postcard after the event with a note written by one of the program participants. It's the memory of the event. Can we post the video, whatever video we shot? Do you all shoot videos of your programs, of your program participants? Yep. Start shaking your head, yes. Okay. Sometimes we can. Sometimes they can release. Sometimes they're now in graduated from college and adults, and they can talk about their story. There's ways to be creative while respecting and honoring confidentiality. Do not let that be your barrier that says we can't. I need to know your mission. Remember, I give from my heart, not my head. Okay? So how do we do that? But when you think about shooting that video, we're all frugal. We want to be frugal. So take advantage of that. And think about snippets from that video that you can use in a Facebook post, that you can put on your website for the whole thing, that you can send out to donors in your e-blast, so that you're using one creative expression multiple times. So that it's very cost effective then. And we're going to beg, borrow, and steal so that somebody donates that videography work, right? Yeah. Okay. Are you currently doing all of this stuff with your events?
No.
But you could. These are not impossible. None of these are. This brings your event to life and your mission to life.
For this, is this specifically for fundraisers, or if you do, like, for instance, we have our homecoming coming up in like 2 weeks.
And what's the purpose of the homecoming?
Just so alumni can come back.
And why do we care if alumni come back?
Because they're our success. They're our story.
And what else about alumni is an opportunity for us?
Well, hopefully donations.
I think you can use this in any public gathering when you're attracting folks around a table. Okay? And if we're not engaging on our alumni, shame on us. Okay. Consider hiring. How many of you have ever hired an event management company to take care of the logistics, negotiate with hotels? They're much better at it than we are. And yes, that's a cost, but then you are communicating with your donors. You're not communicating with the kitchen help to make sure that the table's set. Are you with me? You're doing the job you're hired to do. Cultivate donors. Okay? All righty. This next piece. Events can be a catalyst for moving givers into future major multi-year donors. So they can serve as catalysts. It's part of that donor life cycle experience that you're trying to maximize. Major multi-year donors encourage others to give. Did you know that? If they're a major donor, they encourage others to give as well. Now you have to plant the seed sometimes, but that's an opportunity. They bring their friends. They demonstrate leadership through giving. They confirm affinity with others publicly in support of your cause. So creating genuine ways for donors to see, taste, and touch with your mission over time moves them up that donor life cycle. We're advancing our piece on the board game. Okay. All right, you guys are all falling asleep, so you get to move. All right, and we're going to talk about small group work assignments. And so we're going to count off. In year one.
Four.
I guess I'm five.
One, One. Yep.
One.
Two. Three.
Four. Five.
Okay, one is in the back corner by the window. Two is over right behind me. Three is here. Four is here. And fives are here. Now, should you accept your assignment? This is five over here. And I will bring a magic marker to your flip chart.
I'm a five.
All righty. Now, all right, everybody at their table, at their space. Okay, good. Alrighty, you are going to answer question, I'm changing the rules up at the top. Okay. You're going to answer question one and two. Strategies that keep your events fresh and incorporating mission into your events. You guys are going to do three and four. The bottom line, expense management, cultivating donors through events. You guys are doing group. You're doing number five, evaluating effectiveness, and number two. You're a five and a two.
You said there are extra planets up front.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, they took them. All right. This group is doing number one and number three. And this table is doing number two and number four. And here's your magic marker. You have to appoint a reporter and a recorder. You know the rules of small group work. And you're going to answer these questions. What are the strategies to keep your events fresh? No, wait, what numbers did you have? Two and four? Is that the numbers you had? Two and four? Okay, incorporating mission into your events and cultivating donors through events. So you're going to come up with your best ideas. I would ask, hopefully, that you've done these things, not that you've thought about them. Okay? Now, if you haven't done them, then go out on the limb. All right? And you're going to report back to the whole group. Okay? Here's your magic marker. Oh, you got one. Very good. Here is your magic marker. We have a reporter and a recorder. You have to appoint one person to write that we can see and one person to report back. Okay, here's your magic marker.
Okay.
You have to appoint a reporter to post to the flip chart and someone to report back for the group. So all you're doing is strategies that you have used to keep your events fresh. Not things that you're thinking about doing, but that have had success. And then incorporating mission into your events.
Okay?
Those are the two that you're going to report back. You guys are already in it. Okay.
No.
found an extra one. You're so welcome. Can you at least put the header as to what you're working on? And what number it is? And it's number one.
We're graduating now at college, and he was spending
Number two and what it is.
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Will you put the number next to what those are?
Yeah.
Okay. It's number two. Oh, it's number one. Excuse me. Yeah. Will you number what it is and what that is? It's number two, incorporating, so we can see it. It's a header.
We also had stairs.
You've got plenty of time, but when you put keeping events fresh, will you put item number one, and then when you go on to your next one, do the same? You with me?
Right.
That's fine. There's no rules.
Okay.
You're making them up as we go. Oh, sure. Are you moving on to number two? We need to wrap up in 5 minutes. You need to wrap up in 5 minutes, so if you haven't gone on to number two, please do. You have 5 minutes left, so if you haven't gone on to your second question, please do. 5 minutes.
I can barely get my board.
You have 5 minutes, so move on to your second if you have it.
I just want to be clear. They report back total of 10 minutes. That's everybody 10 minutes. Right?
Correct.
Okay, just making sure I don't.
No. It's all right. I'm already on the floor. Okay. We're going to report back in 5 minutes. So if you can start wrapping up, that'd be great.
Something that we're doing is harder.
Okay, 30 seconds. Stay where you are. You can just stay where you are. 30 seconds. You guys ready? 30 seconds. This group ready? 30 seconds. All right. I've lost control. What? I know. It was all feigned.
It's the illusion.
Exactly. All righty. So that we can all hear each other. It's my turn to talk now. Okay. So that we don't repeat each other, because I think sometimes there's shared brilliance. Okay. When some of you had the identical same questions as another group. So if you're the second group that I asked to call on, and you have a lot of what the group one said, don't give that to us. Otherwise, we're going to start snoring. And we only want to hear the new stuff. Fair enough? All right. Now, I also think that you have me here for my expertise. So if you all can give me some grace and allow me to give feedback to some of the information you may share. Okay? If that's fair? Because some of those items might not be best practices. Okay? And I might have a little bit to share on these things. Okay? It's not to attack. It's to provide best information. All righty? All right, that's what I figured you wanted. All right, you had a number one back in the back.
So we have strategies that keep your events fresh. We have different speakers each year at the events, debriefing with entire staff after the event to find out what went well, what didn't, finding interesting ideas, see what others are doing, other nonprofits are doing, and see if they'll work in your area. Know your limits, don't do too much at one time. Have different people invited to different events so that you're not hitting the same donors every time you have an event. And then target invitees to make sure that they're interested in what you're doing.
Okay. And, okay, good. Who else had number one?
We had number one.
Okay.
We really kind of focused on the dinners. Most of us, I think, have a dinner of some sort. We just talked about not being afraid to change the event a little bit. Like, if you've done this for 5 years, it's okay to change it up a little bit and do something else.
Okay.
We talked about getting our donors involved in the events, in that, like, a lot of us have donors who will donate the items we need, like if we're having a silent auction or if we're doing a craft fair, to get our donors involved in that aspect of it also. I'm not sure what rotate content is, guys. Does anyone know?
Is there anything different than from the first group?
I don't really think so. I think they kind of covered it.
Okay.
Questions?
Sure.
I've heard of other dinners, which are fundraising dinners, that they also have silent auctions. Mm-hmm. I've steered away from that because I figure people are going to give, and if they buy something, then that's less that they would give.
I think some people love silent auctions. I tend to think it's a lot of work to do silent auctions, a whole lot of work to do silent auctions. I prefer a mission component that's your organizational wish list. How many reams of paper do you use in a year? How many are you with? They don't get to take the reams of paper home. They get to write you a check for the reams of paper. Are you with me? What are the things? What is your wish list? Does the kid area need new coloring books and new supplies and a new iPad and that's a wish list. That's a programmatic reinforcement.
So you're saying like a silent auction?
Not even a silent auction. It's called the wish list.
Right.
And it's set up like a silent auction.
Right, but it's centered around the organization.
Correct. It is the program delivery elements. Okay? It could be hours of counseling. It could be, are you with me? Okay? Now, what I also saw over here that I was afraid it was what you meant, but you didn't, so I'm going to comment on it now. Did anybody else have a one before I? No. Okay. When it says change events, don't change events every year. Do we all like Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes.
Tradition.
Right.
We like tradition. So but we change it up. We don't always have the green bean casserole, okay? But
we have the dinner.
You got it.
Yeah.
But don't, because if you change events every year, you are creating something new every year rather than tweaking. You want to tweak. All right. Okay. Yes.
On that wish list.
Yes.
How would you set that up? Because, you know, like with the silent auction, a lot of times that's what set that you look at when you first get there. You find your seat and then you go.
It's the same way you set it up. Exactly. And you have to have hosts at every wish. A host. Much like you have auction volunteers that can talk about it and why it's important.
Would that be like a name cost too?
A name?
Like with a silent auction, the whole fun of it is like you don't know what they bid or whatever.
It's you really don't have that element.
Like, yeah, if I don't.
You can have 12 people give you pay for iPads for the kids' room.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Like, this is what it costs.
Lots and lots of people are just donating to that.
That's what I was asking.
Yes, it's not one person, you know, competing. It's not competing.
Yeah.
It's giving money. Okay? Who had number two? All right, let's start back here. And who else had number two? Up here and over here. Okay.
How do we incorporate mission into our events? We've hit on it all a lot today. The stories are what's key. And we just talked about how that is what tells people what we're doing, and we do what we do because of our mission. One thing we talked about was maybe, since we deal with kids, have a theme on our events. We mentioned like a 5K where you dress up like a character, and that draws in kids and you can bring the kid out of ourselves. A neat idea for a theme to incorporate your mission into. And then just repetition, we talked about how just talking about our mission every chance we get an opportunity to, whether it be on our letterhead, from our voices, at a dinner or at an event, and just making sure and giving out things that have our mission on it.
And short, sweet, impactful. Not long-winded. Okay? Who else had two UD? Okay? New ideas that weren't shared.
Good signage. Using alumni as a part of the event, maybe talking stations, pictures on the table, and then using your staff at the events that they're there to talk and share. Mm-hmm. People like talking to the people on the ground.
Yeah? Okay? All right, new ideas over here.
We talked about client involvement in terms of telling their story.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody has a golf tournament and where everybody plays for a particular child.
Okay.
And whoever wins, you know, that child actually wins.
Okay.
Yeah, and so just involving either the children or the adults or whoever your clients are sort of in the event so that the story out there.
Okay. Any other new stuff?
Brand anything you can. Everything should be themed.
Yes.
Brand should be everywhere.
All right. Good ideas. Number three, the bottom line, expense management. Who had the okay right up here?
First of all, have a budget. Have an amount that you really intend to spend and no more. Have an idea of the percentage of return that you're shooting for.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get a certain amount of gain. Eliminate events that are not cost effective over a period of time.
Amen.
You can't necessarily assess that after one time, but if over a period of time it's not cost effective, don't do it. Find donor sponsors. Consider the idea that big names can bring big returns if they're willing to participate in it. They can also be a big drain on the budget, so you really have to weigh whether or not they're going to help your cause or not. Some advise using neon so that you know.
Okay, pause. Big names bring big returns.
Can.
I understand. Big names like celebrities.
Kirk Cameron at Christian Homes of Abilene.
I don't know who Kirk Cameron is.
Oh,
you watch the Left Behind movies or Fire Rooms.
Okay, so what happens, now this is the concern, I'm sorry, I didn't know he was. He didn't draw me in. Okay, all right. If Kirk Cameron has a fall from grace.
There's risk.
There's risk. I don't hold my breath.
Yeah.
I don't hold my breath on this stuff. I've been burned too many times. No, I would be very cautious.
Especially in social media.
And especially if we're paying for them. I don't like to pay for celebrities.
Well, I know one instance where a Christian school, it seems to me if they fall from grace after your event, I mean, you know, hey, we didn't know at the time, but I know a case of a Christian school who was having Bill Cosby come.
Right.
And all that stuff broke and they uninvited.
I know. We've all had to do that as well. But I'm just saying I would be very careful, especially if you're paying for them. And I don't think we always have to pay for celebrities. You have to be bold. All right. Go ahead. Anything else?
Using software like Neon to be able to anticipate in advance who's going to be there so you have good numbers. And to actually collect monies, including donations, in advance of the event. Knowing your context, so you're preparing, if you're having an event in the Bay Area, you can expect that you're going to have a nicer meal in a nicer venue than you would in the Valley area. Don't do a bay dinner.
I get it.
In the Valley.
Oh, I get it. Totally. It speak to your market.
And that's it. That's
okay. Anybody else had costs? Expense management? Anything new?
One of the things we talked about was like cross sponsoring. So, I don't think I said it, Toby.
PGA.
So there's like, there are organizations that will, if you're doing a golf tournament, for instance, PGA will pay for birdies that people get just because. So knowing those opportunities that are available can cut cost slash drive revenue to keep it, you know, like where you're getting money and you really didn't have to do anything with, say, hey, PGA, we're having some in. This is how many birdies we had. And they're like, here's your check.
All right, good. You also talked about corporate sponsors.
I want you all
to think about this if you do multiple events, and that are they a single dipper, a double dipper, or a triple dipper? And what does a sponsorship cost if they're a single dipper and just involved in one event? Or if they're a double dipper, don't double the cost. Give them a bargain. And if they're a triple dipper, it's an incremental increase, but not the full load. But you end up getting a whole lot more money. And they have representation at all three events, if you do that many.
What do you think about, okay, so we were trying to put together a thing where you go to the businesses and you say, if you will pay us this price point now, it will cover the whole year and we won't bother you again for a year.
That's a different discussion.
Okay.
I think that's outside of this. I think it's the whole, I don't like the thing of not bothering them.
Yeah.
I think it's, do they want to engage? Does it meet their marketing desires and plans and expectations? Mm-hmm. It's not a bother if you're helping them meet their marketing expectations.
Okay.
Who's got anybody else with number three? No. Number four, cultivating donors through events. Who's got that? Okay, go for it.
Obvious things. Gather the names. Avoid to be determined or to be named with either registration cards or, again, the software. Consider audience participation at the event. And this one event, there was the idea that they would show a video of the mothers who had received adopted children through the year, and audience people would write out Mother's Day cards for them and prepare those to send out. So immediately they're being engaged.
Great idea.
Thank you cards and letters. And a mailing list, fundamental.
Okay. Anybody else have number four? Over here. Let's hang in.
Every event, having a swag bag, a little bag that everybody gets or something, and put information in there about the mission and what we're doing and how they can become more engaged beyond this event. Talk about being sure you're there to friend raise with them, not just fundraise, but friend raise, talk to them, build relationships through that. And we talk about tours is very important.
Okay.
Get people on our campuses and tools. We're doing that generally. Let them see the work of their eyes.
I'm going to piggyback on some of these ideas. When you said friend raise and talk to them, thank them for being there, engage them in conversation, assign that also to board members. Literally, here are the people I want you to go talk to. Don't give them too many, but they can handle two conversations. This is what's important for you to say to them. Give them talking points. All they're doing is helping reinforce that relationship. Engage them in that. All of a sudden, they will become more comfortable with the whole concept of fundraising if really all they're doing is thanking and then telling them one thing about the mission that they don't know. Okay? You can also do that with senior staff so that they can be part of that squad, because you can't do it all. You just can't. And there should be some strategic assignments around that. Again, we're getting back to that strategy word, remember? Everything's a strategy. One other thing who else had this? You had it over here. You mentioned it in two places. We always want people to pay in advance. Very few people should be paying at the door. So you know your numbers and you know your dollars. The concept that hasn't been talked about yet was fund the need, that after you show your video, you're just asking for money, outright donations. It's check writing time. And make sure you have some people in the audience that have said, yes, I will raise my hand. So you have those conversations ahead of time. Yes.
We did find a need and it's very successful. But I was, when you were talking about the wish list that we don't do, I was thinking, how is the wish list different?
You can do both. Wish list is lower. Fund the need is usually higher. Okay?
So is the fund the need not staff-based? It is more, we need a new copier. We need new laptops. We need iPads. Or we need this for kids. We need clothes.
I would not be as specific as you are. That goes on the wish list.
Okay.
Fund the need is, what is your need? Big, broad strokes.
1 month's salary.
No, bigger.
Insurance.
How many people are going to write a check for $5,000?
I got you.
Okay.
I've been to those.
Okay.
Like church passes a plate like 5 times.
Well.
And it worked. They raised $250,000.
You got it. But you have to have some people in the audience that know that they're going to step it up.
Yeah.
And they're going to put their hand up.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, and can we look at 4,000? Can we look at, okay? All right. We just did 4, correct? And we're doing 5, evaluating effectiveness. How many people had 5? Only one? Okay, go for it.
We got down to net income was the fixed thing we want to count afterwards.
Okay.
We also want to talk about recruiting donors, renew donors, and then looking at ways that we're growing the interest in our mission and events through. That could be more volunteerism. That could be, we talked about even our, we have neighbors who our neighbors even engage with us. They live
sure.
Right around the corner. And just getting our really being more of a presence in the community through that.
I would add one thing to this. Is the committee that helped you with this event, and yes, you need to have committees, are they as excited about next year? Are they challenged? Are they setting goals? Are they reinvigorated? Okay? All right, you guys did great work. We're wrapping it up. I have 30 more seconds, and I'm going to take it. So, resources. I gave you resources this morning. I'm giving you resources this afternoon. Here's some resources for you. It was a blog from AFP, and we all remember who AFP is, Association of Fundraising Professionals. Okay, and then this book, Making the Most of Your Special Event. You can purchase it through the AFP website for $16 to $20. It's not very expensive. And then the last one is another link, peer-to-peer fundraising. And then, okay, I hang in with you. You hang in with me. And this is how you find me if you lost how you were going to find me this morning. Go in peace, love, and serve.